The claim of one joint heir cannot be broken without the claim of both being broken. And that means our inheritance with Christ in God is as sure as Christ's inheritance is sure. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 read, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now that passage gives us further information as to the deliverance the Christian receives in Jesus Christ. It is not only a deliverance from danger, but a deliverance into an inheritance. The words children, heirs, joint heirs indicate that we're considering the inheritance a child receives from his father by virtue of the fact that he is a child. But the idea is greatly expanded when we think of the term heirs of God. It is true. Since we become children of God in Jesus Christ, we become heirs of God in him also. An understanding of Romans 8, 16 and 17 will magnify the Lord God who has provided salvation in Jesus Christ and inspire the hearts of those who are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Consider first our position. We are children of God. We are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are children of God now, at this present moment. And as the children of God, we are the heirs of God. Now remember that the term children used in this passage emphasizes the true fact of our being genuine children. We are God's offspring. We are His own posterity. We are His own dear children. And as such, we are true and genuine members of the family of God. Our place as children has been made possible by our being born of the Spirit and adopted by God. That relationship is genuine, unending, and present. What a privilege. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Second, consider our possession. We are heirs. If children, then heirs. Now the particle if in the if children, then heirs is not intended to express doubt, as if to say, if indeed you are children, which you may not be. No. It's used to indicate fulfilled condition and may be translated since. Since you are children, then you are heirs. You see, it's assurance, not doubt, that's written through this passage. Notice the word heirs. Since you are children, you are heirs, the inspired apostle wrote. And it means filial heirs, an heir because of family relationship. Now, such a person is an heir of the Father, because he is a child of the Father. There were two methods of inheritance among the people of Bible times. The Jews gave the eldest son a double inheritance, and all the other sons received an equal amount. The Romans gave equally to each son, but all the children were included in the inheritance. To be a child is to be an heir to the estate of the Father. Think about that inheritance. Christians are more than heirs. They are heirs of God. Now, there are two thoughts in understanding that statement. On the one hand, some would consider that Christians are the treasure which God inherits. That is, we are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, that would mean that He receives us through the death of Christ, and thus saints are His inheritance. But others would understand the statement in its normal sense, that the saints of God, who are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, receive the Father's estate because they are His dear children. And it is in this second sense that I set it forth for your consideration. We think of inheritance in material terms because our inheritance on earth is in money, land, stocks, bonds, houses, and other things of monetary value. If one thinks of being an heir of God in that way, he must remember that the whole earth belongs to the Lord with all the wealth that is in it. And the Christian stands heir to it all as he inherits the earth. Besides that, there are so many heavenly treasures involved in the inheritance of the Christian that are unknown presently, and we cannot count them in value or in number. And the Christian is an heir to it all. Look at our guarantee. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Equally blessed as the privilege of being an heir of God is the fact that we are joint heirs with Christ. Now that term joint heirs is very interesting. It does not mean that we will receive one half of God's estate and Christ will receive the other half. No, God's estate is not to be divided up that way. To be a joint heir simply means to be an equal heir. It means we will share the same thing that Jesus shares. There will be no division of ownership. There will be mutual ownership. Phillips translates the verse, "If we are His children, we share His treasures, and all that Christ claims as His will belong to all of us as well." Now that's it. We will claim as our own all that Christ claims as His own, and both claims will be valid and true. Sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? There is an insight from legal practice which is particularly interesting. The claim of one joint heir cannot be broken without the claim of both being broken. And that means our inheritance with Christ in God is as sure as Christ's inheritance is sure. Blessed assurance. Notice that we are not an heir of God, but we are an heir of God with Christ. Now you notice it? We share with Him. He shares with us. And since we have nothing and He has everything, we're the ones who profit most by that exchange. And just think, God planned it that way from the very beginning. Look at our identification. The beautiful promise is followed by the statement, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, what does that mean? I think the passage is speaking of identification. The person who identifies himself with the sufferings of Jesus Christ in this world, both the sacrifice of the cross and the self-giving spirit of service, will be identified with the glory of Christ in the world to come. If there is no union with Him here, there will be no union with Him there. Now, many of God's people have suffered severely in the flesh through persecution and martyrdom for the witness of Jesus Christ. But the inheritance must not be considered a reward for hardship suffered here. Some of God's saints have not had to suffer in the flesh, though they bore the sufferings of Christ in the Spirit. They will share in the divine inheritance also. Well, it is a wonderful prospect, isn't it? It should challenge us to be faithful to our Lord now, because identification with Him now will bring identification with Him then, and that will be glory. Father, we do not deserve in any wise what You have promised to give us, but we remember that we did not deserve what You've already done for us in Jesus and given to us in Him. It reminds us that You are a God of grace who always does far beyond our deserving. Thank You for being such a God. And thank You for being our Father who shares all the riches of His glory with His dear children. In Jesus' name, amen.